Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network.
What if movies were games? What if movies were games? What if movies were games?
Nice, they're grabbing that.
Hey everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Thumb Cramps, a video game review podcast for everyone whose thumbs are cramping. I'm one of your hosts, Joel.
I'm the other one of your hosts, Jackson.
And today, Jackson,
yes,
and listeners, we are joined by a very special guest, because obviously, listeners, you would know.
You would know this already without us even having to tell you.
It's October, and for gamers, that means one thing.
It's Game of Hollywood.
It's Game of Hollywood.
Yes.
Welcome to Adaptober.
Woo!
Which people will probably find is very easy and fun to say.
Adaptober.
Where Thumb Cramps is exploring games that have dared to ask the question,
yeah.
What if movie a game?
What if, because we know we have game, that's fine.
Yeah.
And we have movie, and that's fine too.
That's good.
But what if you did make a movie... was game.
Well, that's what we're looking at this month on Thumb Cramps. So welcome to Adaptober. And we could not think of a better guest
to
kick off Adaptober than Scott from NerdSync. Welcome, Scott.
Hello, hello. I'm so excited to be here. I came in just a little like behind the scenes. Like I didn't even know that this was the theme. I was like, here's a game that I would love to talk about. And it just so happened to perfectly fit this
perfectly
theme.
Aligned.
So I'm glad I could slot in here at the right time.
It's wonderful
it
stuff.
It was Game of Destiny.
It was Game of Destiny.
Yeah.
That's true. Game of God looked down on us and made a game of decision. And here we are.
Thank you, based game of God. So, Scott, today you're looking at Monsters Unleashed, and then we'll be looking at other games.
Tell us about Monsters Unleashed.
So, I don't know if you guys know this. I am a pretty big fan of Scooby-Doo. I know. And I was at the very end. I love Monsters Unleashed 2, the sequel to the movie.
It is good.
It's very good. It's one of my favorite films. And at the very end of that movie, like a post-credit scene, Scooby-Doo is playing a Game Boy Advance, and he's playing Scooby-Doo 2 Monsters Unleashed on the Game Boy Advance, and then he gives you a little code that's like, enter this code in the game. And I never knew what that did, because I never had a Game Boy Advance. For the longest time, I thought it was called a Game Boy Advanced, like past tense, but apparently it's not, and I learned that recently,
because
I never had one.
The Game Boy Advanced. The PS2.
Yeah.
The Xbox 360'd.
The Nintendo Switched.
So I've just recently, I was like, well, I want to know what this code does, and could I look it up online?
Yeah.
Yes.
Sure.
Could I instead go and go onto eBay.com and buy physical cartridges of the Scooby-Doo 2 Monsters Unleashed game? Yes. And not only have I done that, I bought the first one of the game. I bought the second one.
Oh my
Scooby-Doo
God!
2 Monsters Unleashed. And they come on a dual cartridge where the first and second game are on the same cartridge. So now I have three cartridges.
That's the best.
And thankfully...
This is the only time I've ever wanted Thumb Cramps to be a video medium because you picked up one cartridge at a time. And we did not know what was coming next.
I didn't know how many cartridges were going to come before my eyeballs.
I got a box of cartridges over here.
Did you buy a Game Boy Advanced too?
Yeah.
So thankfully, my wife has a Game Boy Advance. So we went to her parents' house and like rummaged through her like childhood room, and it's like in a box somewhere, and we found it and it works. So we were able to play it. And I was like, all right, I want to type in this code.
Yeah.
And the code is just SD2. It's not a clever code, you know? But I was like, I want to type in this code. I've never done this before. But there's nowhere to do that. There's nowhere to type in this code.
Was Scooby-Doo lying to you?
I felt like Scooby-Doo was lying to me. There's a code screen at the beginning of the game where you can enter codes, but those are level codes, and they are like 6 to 8 characters long, and this is only SD2. That's 3 characters.
Yeah.
So I had to spend the next, I believe, 4 to 5 hours playing this game, and I filmed myself doing it, playing this game for the first time, because the code, you don't get to enter the code until the very end of the game.
What?
Whoa!
What the hell?
Yeah.
I got it. What does it do? What does it do? At the end of the game, what are you getting?
Or is that like a...
So if you...
Can I have a guess? And if this is true...
No, yeah.
This is so funny.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess that at the end of the last level of the game, you have to put in a code to like open a door to get to the proper ending or something like that. And if you don't
you
do it, the game just ends.
You are not far off. You are not
That's so
far
good.
Off. This, what happens is you... So it's basically the plot of the movie, right?
Sure.
It's what if movie was game.
Yes, it is a good question to ask.
Yeah, that's why we're asking it every week this month.
Yeah. So it's the plot of the movie. You've got the evil masked figure who's the big bad, and it's trying to take down Scooby-Doo and the gang, and you fight all these levels. You only play as Scooby, Shaggy, and Daphne, and there's a lot more... There's a lot more combat than the movie has. Well, the combat has a lot of combat with Daphne. She's fighting Black Knight Ghost and things like that. But this game has like bats and rats, which are two things that do not have, like, are not in the movie.
Yeah.
There's so many rats in this game, and they're the worst. So you're fighting all of these monsters, you're fighting all these rats and bats, and you get to the end of the game, you fight the evil masked figure, which is the hardest fight. I recorded myself playing this and I lost my mind. Like, I took a break. I got like genuinely angry.
Yeah.
I never get angry.
That's awesome.
I got gamer rage.
What about the fight was so enraging? Like, what kind of a, you know?
It wasn't fair. It wasn't fair. I'm not a good gamer. I'll admit that. But this felt so unfair, especially for a child's video game based off of Scooby-Doo. I just could not beat this.
Yeah.
I eventually, and I will stress again that I do own these games physically that I got from eBay, but I did end up having to use save states in some capacity just to try and get through this final boss.
Fair enough.
Save scumming is allowed here on Thumb
Cramps. We approve of save scumming. We approve of screen cheating.
Oh, yes.
We approve of any unethical gamer practice.
Yes.
We're here for it.
Gamer rage is endorsed by Thumb Cramps.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So you beat this final boss, which is infuriating.
Yep.
And if you don't have this code, the game is like, well, you beat the evil masked figure, but you'll never know who they are and why they did what they did. You have to enter the code to get the true ending to do the thing that every Scooby-Doo does is like unmask the villain. You are stripped of that.
That's
and they do not let you
funny.
Know the mystery behind it all. They're just like, well, you beat the game.
You got him.
Goodbye.
Move on. Go home. Oh, my God.
Scott, obviously, you would have seen Monsters Unleashed. I would hazard more recently than Jackson and I.
Yeah.
Is this post-credit scene still attached to like the streaming version of the film, or is this post-credit
scene? That's a good question.
Yeah, like on the DVD or whatever.
It would be on the DVD.
Yeah,
it's just whether or not it's like on streaming or something like that. Because I wonder if this post-credit scene is, yeah, it's still part of the movie because that's funny. Oh, it's aged like crazy.
That's a really good question. I don't know if I talked about this last time I was on to talk about Scooby-Doo stuff on a different show, but yeah. Like this particular movie, Scooby-Doo 2 Monsters Unleashed, has two different cuts of it. One of it is the theatrical and one of it is the streaming version. And I don't know if the streaming version cuts out this thing, but basically it was a licensing thing where the initial theatrical release was sponsored by, I think Burger King. And then that licensing fell through. And so the streaming, all you get for streaming services right now is they replaced it with KFC. So they had to get Matthew Lillard into the vocal booth to re-record some ADR like 10-something years later.
That's insane.
Yeah. So and anytime there's like a Burger King product placement, they had to go over it again digitally for KFC product placement. So there are two different cuts of this movie.
That's crazy.
One of them specifically for streaming. It would be interesting to know if the post credit scene was not on the screen.
Well, look, I found out that there is a streaming service in Australia that does have Scooby-Doo 2 Monsters Unleashed. So I'll just quickly fire it up, see what happens at the end of the movie.
Yeah. It's my favorite.
This very end.
It's saying, oops, dude.
Okay. So worth noting, if you live in Australia, there's a streaming service called Binge. It's the worst streaming service I've ever used by such a substantial margin that I literally cannot use. Like, I can't check at the moment because it's just saying, oops, something went wrong. Your internet connection might be experiencing problems.
I hate when an app or something says, oops. It's like oops.
Yeah.
Oops. Oh, whoopsie doodle.
Oh, no, something's going wrong and I'm making it your problem.
And it's also, it's like they're acting like they made a mistake. Fix your shit. Oops. That's so annoying. Yeah, you're just getting oops, dude. You're getting oopsed. You're gonna have to move on. I'm sorry.
I hate Binge so much. So Binge is run by Foxtel, which is a pay TV system in Australia, which we've previously reviewed on Thumb Cramps, unsubscribing ourselves from.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. So, look,
I think they got five thumbs from
I think they just got their revenge.
Yeah, they won't let us.
That's what happened. They won't let us know this answer.
Aside from the bats and rats, how accurate is it to Scooby-Doo 2 Monsters Unleashed?
You know, honestly, it starts off like the first two levels, I think, start off as like really good locations from the movie. You've got it opens with the Coolsville Museum or the Coolsonian Museum.
Yeah.
And then you go to Wickles Manor, and those are like the two really big set pieces, as well as the Monster Factory later in the movie.
Yeah.
And it feels like some filler back and forth between those places, but those two places really open up the game, and I felt like they were, like, the settings wise, it felt really good. There is a bit, this is something that I thought was really cool.
Yeah.
When you're playing as Daphne in that first level, you play as like all three characters in the same level.
Yeah.
But you play as Daphne as the third time, and in that scene in the movie, she rescues Shaggy and Scooby by taking a sword from a display, and they're all tied to ropes that are tied to the pterodactyl ghost that's flying away, and she's going to save them. So she slices the rope, and in this game, Daphne's combat for just this level is she has a sword. And she doesn't do that for any other level. And
that's,
I was like,
good.
What an attention to detail to be like, we're going to do just sword animations for one
just
level.
Just for this
for
level.
Daphne.
Yeah. I feel like those movie tie-in games did that a lot because it was like, I guess that like toss up between movie accuracy and shitting out a game, which is largely what they were like. But they were like, look, if this is in the film, it's like one of the only, you know, parts of the movie we can, you know what I mean? Like gameplay up or whatever.
Yeah. I have found Scooby-Doo 2 Monsters Unleashed on a different streaming service, one that I like.
Yeah.
Which, again, for overseas listeners, you've already heard about an Australian streaming service called Binge. Yeah. Get ready to hear another stupidly titled one called Stan. Is the post-credit scene, is it like literally, do you remember if it's like mid-credits or
it
if
is,
it's after
fully after the credits.
Okay.
Fully, it is the last thing.
You got to keep going. I'm watching it here. Okay, we're at the end. Nope, I was wrong. I'm watching over Dusha's shoulder. Are we at the end now?
No. You'll be able to tell because I'll either... Okay, so... Ooh. It's looking like... So we're at the songs in the credits.
Okay.
So that's usually almost the last thing. Yeah.
Here we go. If it's not, that's so funny. That means you just can't, like, I guess unless you get the DVD or whatever.
I don't think it's going to be there.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be there either.
Credits are rolling, but there's only 10 seconds left.
That's not enough time for Scooby-Doo.
Not enough time
to be
for
like,
Scooby-Doo.
We're into this road.
Oh, no.
Too bad.
I can't remember. He does say something. I can't remember what it is specifically.
What is it? Rainbow Advanced.
I love to rain.
Rame rage. Scooby-Doo's laugh is like the best thing in the world. And it's so much fun to do.
Listeners, if you're listening in public right now, give it a go.
This is your time to Scooby-Doo Max with the rest of us. You gotta eat big sandwiches. Gosh. You gotta annoy your friends.
Yes.
And laugh like Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, that's good best. Stuff. It is not on the streaming version of the movie.
That's so funny. If you've got a Game Boy Advance now, I mean, you probably don't, but if you do.
Well, this is the only place where you can currently hear
that's
the
true.
Code to finish Scooby-Doo 2 Monsters Unleashed on Game Boy Advance,
right.
And it is SB, and then the number 2.
Yes.
SD.
Oh, it's SD.
Scooby-Boo. Scooby-Boo. Are you stupid?
I am stupid. I meant to say D, but my lips said B.
Scooby-Boo.
D 2. Remember, Scooby-Doo 2, not Scooby-Boo 2. Sorry, I was thinking about all the ghosts in Monsters Unleashed and I got frightened.
It is scary.
It is a scary movie, scary game.
For sure.
Do you remember how many levels are in the game, like roughly? Is it like long?
So admittedly, what happened was because I was filming myself playing for a video that I'm going to make, I was trying to beat the whole thing and I kept dying because the game is unfair because of all the rats and bats.
Yeah. Yep.
And I got to a point where I was like, I bet I can just look up because they've got these level codes. Mm-hmm. I bet I could just look up the level code to the last level so that I
Smart.
Can beat the evil masked figure and then type in the actual code SD2. So I did, I think I've played probably 3/4 of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And there are, you play each level as, you know, as Daphne, Shaggy and Scooby, in different areas doing different things. And I think there are probably like 4 or 5, it's actually kind of cool. I played this a while ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm all this stuff is like sort of coming back to me, but there is there are moments of the game where it breaks out of the formula. Normally it is sort of like a side-scrolling platformer, sort of, you know, you're discovering different areas and finding keys to unlock doors and things like that and avoiding all these enemies or fighting all these enemies. But there are moments of the game where it breaks out of that shell a little bit and it'll do something like there's a stealth mini game where you're following Old Man.
Is it good?
You're following Old Man Wickles. It is good. It is like my favorite part of the game where it zooms out to be like much more of a...
Like a Metal Gear Solid kind of?
Kind of, yeah. And it's like you have to plan it right by hiding behind things before he turns around. You've got this like cone of vision that is just like if you fall into that cone of vision, he'll see you and you have to start the level over again. And that part is really fun. There's also another mini game where you are surfing down a mountain on a trash can lid, which is
classic.
From the movie as well.
Yeah, that's good.
So those mini games are like genuinely very fun. And I'm sure I skipped one mini game.
Yeah.
They were very
I'm
very
so
good,
impressed that the stealth section was fun because I feel like especially an added stealth section is like a recipe for disaster in most games. Like if one stealth mission where it's not the focus of the game.
I reckon this is what happens when you get caught in the stealth game.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
You, I reckon you're you, right.
It's, Zoinks!
It's so short, too. I think that's why I liked it. It's just yeah. There were, like, I think I got caught twice because I got caught on some, like, scenery or something. Oh,
yeah,
I couldn't
that's
turn,
classic
turn
and
shaggy
a
enough.
Stealth game yeah. of, like, being, like, I was trying to hide, but my character got stuck to a statue and then...
I think
it was unfair.
I got stuck on a pixel.
Yeah.
I think, and we should try and play this for Adaptobo. One of us should. I think the Family Guy game has apparently Ooh. One of the worst stealth sections of like any video game.
Well,
where you play as Brian the dog.
Yeah.
And you got a stealth.
The reason you know about that is because I reviewed Family Guy the game on this show and told Whoa, you that.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
That was, it was
that
during,
this year?
It was during PlayStation. It's Placed April.
Placed April, that's right, of yeah, course. Well, that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
I could be forgiven.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, man. Look, it sounds like that Monsters Unleashed is a must-play game for every listener out there, especially mm-hmm. people that are fans of games that movies that have become game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Scott, we didn't tell you this before we started recording, but every game we give a score out of 5 thumbs. So how many thumbs would you give Scooby-Doo 2 Monsters Unleashed for the Game Boy Advance?
There are some additional. So 5 thumbs is obviously a perfect score. 10 Great. Thumbs yeah. makes it your game Whoa. Of the year. Mm. Okay.
Oh,
7
wow.
thumbs makes it probably your game of the year, but you're allowing sure. for other games. And 6 thumbs makes it probably your game of the year, but you're allowing for other games.
Yeah.
Just to give you the full All gamut right. of possible
so just,
scores.
So just a quick recap. 5, perfect
yeah.
game.
Yeah.
6, you're thinking about maybe making it potentially one of your games of the year. 7,
gotcha.
It's maybe one of your games of the year. 10, uh-huh. it's your game of the year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We don't
it
know what 8 or 9
mushy there in the
are.
Middle. Yeah. But yeah. All right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I would say Scooby-Doo 2, Monsters Unleashed
yep.
yeah.
for the Game Boy Advance.
In brackets
tense.
With true ending.
Yeah, yeah.
yeah, with true ending. That's important. If the controls were better, it would be a nice 3, but the platforming is such a big mechanic and it is not good.
Yeah.
It's 2, but I give it the reason it's a 2, not a 1 is because I do think that the attention to detail with the animations specifically are very fun. There's like classic, Scooby cowering when he ducks, which is
good.
Very cute.
Yeah, that's good.
Or like Shaggy's attack is like a butt bump, which is very funny. So like, yeah, like the animations are good and there's attention to detail there, but it's really not much better than it.
Yeah, that's fair.
2 thumbs.
Two thumbs. Grim.
Well, that's a rough start to Adaptober, but hey, maybe we can turn it around next week.
Yeah.
But Jackson, do you know what I've been playing?
What?
The brand new Mortal Kombat game, which is made by the same studio as Scooby-Doo, Warner Brothers.
Holy mackerel.
So the new Mortal Kombat game, it's called Mortal Kombat 1. Which is an ugly title for a name, a game.
The first one. They finally made one.
They finally made a freaking Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
About time.
So, we've been talking about it for so long.
So longtime gamers would recognize that this is, in fact...
They would recognize the name Mortal Kombat.
They would.
Probably.
Longtime gamers might have heard of Mortal Kombat.
Yeah. And if you're a fan of going to the movies in 2020, you may have seen the title Mortal Kombat 2.
That's true.
Also, if you're a fan of going to the movies in 1995,
you might have seen it then as well. That's true.
So this is the third time they've made a Mortal Kombat 1 video game.
Yeah.
The first Mortal Kombat was Mortal Kombat 1, obviously.
That makes sense.
The 9th mm-hmm. entry in the series was also Mortal Kombat 1.
Yeah.
And now we're at the 12th entry in the series, or 11th.
Yeah.
No, I was right the first time.
12th.
12th. It's Mortal Kombat 1 again.
Well, was the 9th called, like, literally Mortal Kombat 1?
No, it was called Mortal Kombat.
Oh,
actually,
okay.
I think it might have been the 8th entry. Either way, it was 8th or 9th, and then this one.
Now we're at Mortal Kombat 1. Why?
Jackson, I'm so glad you've asked, because Mortal Kombat has very stupid and in-depth lore.
Yes.
So the first time they rebooted it, it's because Raiden, I believe, who is a character, he's a god of thunder. Thor.
Like Thor.
Except he has a cooler hat.
Him.
Okay.
And he...
What's Thor's hat?
He's got a winged helmet, I think.
Oh,
yeah,
he does.
A helmet.
That is a pretty cool hat.
Yeah, but Raiden's hat's way better.
It's Raiden's hat, like one of those kind of broad, like brimmed. Yeah, those are cool hats.
Yeah.
awesome hats.
At people.
What's the coolest hat?
Backwards hat.
Any backwards hat backwards cap. Is
Any
the coolest hat.
Yeah, that's true. Some hats you can't tell if they're backwards, which is cool.
Like Raiden's hat would be hard to tell if it was backwards.
That's true.
Yeah.
So I believe what happens in the Mortal Kombat lore, and this is going to be dicey because I don't even think I properly played the story of any of the games around this time.
Yeah.
Everyone, like, basically, things have gotten bad, and Earthrealm is in trouble.
Right.
Raiden sends himself back to the past.
Okay.
To enter the first Mortal Kombat and change the results of the future. Which is also what happens in this game, but Liu Kang does it this time.
Okay, so it's the same problem.
Second time's a charm.
So rather than just like a remake of the first game, this one, story-wise...
It's like a reimagining of the first
game?
Yeah,
and it like totally changes like some of the characters' like allegiances and like their backstory. Yeah, it's kind of, it feels like a multiverse game because like Johnny Cage is older in this still, but like he doesn't have Cassie Cage, his daughter, yet.
Oh yeah.
But then like Kenshi, who is the guy with the sword and the blindfold, he's not blind yet. But the game also has like an insanely in-depth story mode, which is funny for a fighting game.
Yeah.
It's like 10 minutes of cutscenes. A fight, then maybe like 30 seconds of a cutscene, then another fight, then 10 minutes of cutscenes. Like,
let me tell you, brother, that sounds awful.
Well, it plays very much like how the Mortal Kombat movie probably should have.
Because
it does interesting things that raise the stakes, but in a way that's very weird for a video game because you can start the stakes at 100.
Like in
a video game, you can just be like, yeah, they're already killing each other. Who cares?
Yeah.
Where a movie, you kind of need to build to that. But in the movie Mortal Kombat that came out recently, they don't have a Mortal Kombat.
No, that's
true. It starts.
Yeah.
And then everyone's like, ooh, we've got to be sneaky and fight each other before the Mortal Kombat.
There's a Mortal Kombat coming. But yeah.
Where in this.
That's right.
Liu Kang collects the heroes, which is similar to how the game, the movie would start. Then. At this point in time, the Mortal Kombat isn't called a Mortal Kombat. It's just like a fight between the realms just to keep peace, basically. Yeah. Like a Hunger Games situation, but without killing.
Oh, yeah.
So in this, fatalities aren't in it. There's no like real bad violence yet. And it's only after that tournament where the Netherrealm betrays Earthrealm. And then they're like, well, I guess it's like bad things are happening now.
Yeah.
So it builds the stakes and then fatalities start happening.
Okay. It's kind of neat.
That's interesting. I have a friend who's super duper into Mortal Kombat and has played them ever since the beginning. And he's always said that the sort of classic saying with Mortal Kombat is you come for the gore, but you stay for the lore, you know?
Yeah,
so,
that
like,
makes...
The more you play, it's like, all right, actually, man, I kind of like these characters, though.
Yeah,
what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Well, this did a pretty interesting thing as well, which is the way that the story works is, even though it is still just a typical fight, like the only gameplay in the game is fighting, like a normal Mortal Kombat fight. Based on the story, it means that, like, certain characters don't have their full move set when you first play as them because the thing that changes them hasn't happened yet. So, like, Raiden, when you first play as him, no electricity.
Oh, okay.
Does
it feel... Do you get electricity later on?
Uh-huh.
Does that feel really good when it happens?
Yeah, you feel more equipped to deal with the fights.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
And the first time you play as Johnny Cage in the story, he's making Indiana Jones.
Like, oh, okay.
So, his fight is...
He got a whip?
He doesn't have a whip, but he's got like the... He's dressed as Indiana Jones.
That's very funny.
And he has a sidekick in it that isn't in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And
is the sidekick short round?
It's a
Steven
wide...
Spielberg.
Steven Spielberg is in the game.
What? And he's making Indiana Jones.
With Johnny Cage, yeah.
That's awesome.
That's
is he
amazing.
Unlockable?
I don't think so.
That's tragic.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would love to play a
Steven
Spielberg.
The power of film.
Yeah.
Basically the story mode of Mortal Kombat is crazy, very lore heavy, and Steven Spielberg is in it, which was not something I expected.
That's so awesome. I really want to play a fighting game where I can be Steven Spielberg versus George Lucas.
that George Lucas will have him smoked.
What are you talking about?
George Lucas could take 100 hits. Steven Spielberg, 2 max.
Yeah, but Steven Spielberg's got the reach, dude.
Steven Spielberg looks wily, like he might pick up sand and throw it in George Lucas's face.
It does. But once George Lucas gets some momentum, yeah, that's true. It's over for Spielberg.
I feel like that, yeah, like a shove from George Lucas will feel like being hit by a bus.
Yeah, that's true.
And also all the years of fans just screaming at him has made him tough.
Yeah, but Spielberg might pinch. Spielberg would definitely pinch. Yeah. He's a pincher.
Yeah, and my money's still on George.
No, I'm a Spielberg head. Yeah. Sorry.
I think we could both.
I feel like Spielberg would probably take time and like craft his moves, and then Lucas would like anything that interests him at the moment is like, oh, there's a rock there, I'll throw that rock, or like, oh, I'm thinking about this, I'm gonna like karate chop you now. You know, I don't know anything about that. Like he's unpredictable.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's a great point. More combo moves for Lucas, I think, than Spielberg. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can I also imagine now that you say that George Lucas fighting like Taz the Tasmanian Devil?
Yeah, that's true. He is the sort of Taz of directors. Yeah, interesting.
Is Spielberg Bugs Bunny or Daffy Duck?
No, Bugs Bunny, I would say.
Bugs Bunny?
I don't know what director is Daffy Duck.
Like a classic, or is like... Yeah, it's tricky.
Which Looney Tune is Scorsese?
Scorsese? Foghorn Leghorn? I say. Goodfellas.
I say.
Cinema.
Superhero movies are trash.
I say, listen here, boy. Cinema is dying.
Yeah.
That's good gear. That's good stuff.
Mortal Kombat, they changed the gameplay slightly where they've borrowed, like, so there's a cameo fighter. So you pick your guy you're fighting as, and then you pick your cameo fighter. And basically, it's just a guy that you can tap in to do a couple of moves. You don't actively play as them. They're just there to help.
Oh, yeah.
So, for example, look, you pick Sub-Zero as your cameo guy. You press, I'm playing on PlayStation 5, so you press R1. He pops out, shoots ice. It's meant to just kind of, like, help you build combos and find, like, good combinations of characters. So, like, you could be like, oh, okay, I can hit the person I'm fighting 3 times. Then if I hit them with my Sub-Zero attack, they freeze so that I can continue the combo. You know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's just like an extra layer that makes it a bit faster and more exciting.
I've heard that this is the Mortal Kombat that is that has at least a mode that is easier for people to, like, new players to get on board with without having to necessarily memorize a whole bunch of different combos. You sort of like can craft the fighter that you want, and
that's
cool. It's easier to onboard people.
Yeah, story mode definitely works well for that, because there's 3 single player modes in it. There's story, Invasion, which I will talk about in a second, and then Towers. Mm-hmm. And Towers is the one that's been in every Mortal Kombat, which is just like, you pick a fighter, then there's like a tower of 6 guys, and then you fight all 6 guys, you finish that, hey, well done.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Classic, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, story is probably the easiest for, like, newcomers, because first of all, like, you just get thrown, like, every section of the story is you're playing a different character, so it doesn't, like, you knowing one guy doesn't really help out.
Oh, yeah.
But also, a lot of the time, the character you're playing as, halfway through their part of the story, something will happen, so their moves list will change anyway. So the game's, like, pretty...
Teaching you as well, kind of? Yeah, that's cool.
But yeah, Invasion. That's the mode I haven't spoken about yet. So basically, I think it changes... It's like a seasonal update.
Oh, yeah.
So currently, it's like a board game.
Huh?
Or like, it's imagine like Mario Party, like there's like squares, like circles, but every circle is like a fight, but then like certain circles you'll unlock like an item. So for example, it teaches you this because the first circle is outside Johnny Cage's mansion.
Yeah.
You beat that guy, you're fighting, you get the mansion key, so it unlocks the path in front of you. So you can move around the circles provided you've... So
is
yeah,
it
like,
kind of like what the hell was it called?
Kind of like a board game as
or
well,
or like in Smash Brothers Ultimate. Remember the story mode of that was kind of like a board game, and you would move through and then you would defeat a guy and then you would get that guy and you could go down a different path or whatever?
Yeah, it's very similar to that.
Cool. That was fun. I like that about Ultimate. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's in Mortal Kombat now too.
I got to get into Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
That was an awesome movement. Just, yeah, you did it again, but people are listening
well,
to
I did
this.
It. That was just for you.
It was just, oh, I appreciate it.
And Scott, that was for you guys.
You're rocking back and forth.
I appreciate it.
Rocking out.
I'm rocking. I am rocking out. Yeah.
I'm excited. Like, I was like, when I first bought Mortal Kombat, I was like, I'm excited about the DLC characters, but I'm not going to commit to buying them yet just in case I play this game for 30 minutes and then put it down.
Yeah.
But yesterday I played it for like 3 hours without taking a break, and I think I'm locked in.
Yeah, okay, wow.
All right.
Gotcha.
Yeah, right. I went full on gamer mode.
Got his hooks in you, brother.
Yeah. I know you're all dying to ask. And yeah, my mains are Liu Kang and Johnny Cage, which I'm sure is a huge surprise. Doing a fatality is still super, super, super satisfying.
Nice.
Of course.
Every character is customizable, and as you progress through the game, they have like a mini leveling system. There's no skill tree or anything like that. It's just like, hey,
you got better.
Liu Kang got to level 3. It doesn't change your stats, but you unlocked like a new skin.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
But also stuff you can unlock is like new outfits. Yeah, so new outfits, new colors of the outfits, new gear, so like physically like a Johnny Cage sunglasses.
Yeah.
But also fatalities. So you unlock new ones.
Cool. That's mad.
And you can equip different ones at different times. There's also a second system called brutalities, which are more generic to just, like, just in general to everyone. And they're usually far more reminiscent of the earlier fatalities from the first Mortal Kombat. So the one you start with is just called the classic. And it's just an uppercut where you punch their head off.
That's awesome. That is the classic. They're but then,
so punch their head off, and then their body explodes, and it's just like rains bones, like how in the first Mortal Kombat, when you did a fatality, people would have like 7 rib cages.
Yeah.
That happens.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And like in real life, too.
Yeah,
in real life. That's true.
Yeah.
If you just like, when you're alive, if you were just like, I don't know, open with a scalpel, 1 rib cage. But if someone punches your head clean off, that's you get
spontaneous rib cages.
Yeah, you get you get 6
That's
bonus
actually
ones.
What kills you.
Yeah.
Your head coming off, punch. That's okay. It's just all the ribs.
Yeah, it's it's a serious, serious problem, and that's why people shouldn't get their heads punched.
Yeah, that is true.
They won't tell you that in school. Yeah. Like, health class will not explain this to you, but here on Thumb Cramps, we are brave enough to let you know the truth.
Yeah. Don't punch your head off, you'll get 6 ribs.
And that will kill you.
And that will kill you dead.
Bone poisoning. But yeah, I think, if I'm being honest with my thumb score, a fighting game like this, it's tricky to be super accurate with a thumb score, because I feel like that fighting games are the type of games where I could just, my interest could just fall off a cliff.
Yeah, I get that.
Where other games I can sort of either see it coming or it won't happen because I'll just finish them and be like, woo, I did it. Where with this, the story mode is really short. So if I'm into the game, finishing the story, I won't be like, I'm done.
Yeah, you might go back and just try the other modes, etc.
Yeah, but I could, like, wake up one morning and be like, I'm never playing this again.
Oh, yeah, I get that, dude. I absolutely get that.
So I think I'm going to go 4 thumbs at the moment, but that could change because it feels like it's clicking with me big time.
Yeah, oh, yeah. It sounds like it, dude.
Yeah. And it was interesting to play this for Adaptober because, obviously, Scott played Scooby-Doo 2 Monsters Unleashed, which is What If Movie was game.
Yeah.
This kind of feels like What If Game was movie.
Still adapt.
Yeah, it is adapt.
It's adapted.
It's adapt. Yeah, it counts.
It just went the other way.
Yeah, it still counts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because they have made a Mortal Kombat movie, so technically it's gone from game to movie to game.
Well, yeah, sometimes they do that, like the Ratchet and Clank game that was based off the movie that was also the game.
Yeah, that was an awesome thing they did. They rebooted the Ratchet & Clank franchise to tie into a movie. The game was critically well-received and sold really well, and no one saw the movie.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
So now they've got this classic game that's tied into a movie that's, like, impossible to watch.
Yeah, nobody's ever seen.
Yeah,
that's so funny.
Well, that's good stuff.
They've done that with comic books, too. I remember when I was younger, one of the comics that I would read over and over again was the Spider-Man comic that was based off of the movie, the Sam Raimi Spider-Man movie.
Hell yeah.
And then, of course, that was based off of the comics already. Yeah. So it's just like comic to movie to comic again.
Absolutely.
Well, obviously there is the most famous example of this in gaming, which is Street Fighter, the movie, the game.
Yes. Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, gosh.
We got to track that down.
We got to get, that's been a requested game in our comment section.
Yeah, there you go.
Street Fighter, the movie, the game.
We got to play it.
Yeah, it's good. It's that's funny, a funny though. Name for a
yeah,
game.
It's funny.
It's very good.
Well, speaking of funny, Jackson, what have you been playing?
I've been playing a game called Cultic.
That's not funny.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's ooh. it's what's known as a boomer shooter.
Oh!
Yeah, which is a funny title for these kinds of games that I hadn't heard of until, like, this year.
Yeah.
It's a very recent name for these kinds of games, I think, which basically just means, like, a game kind of like Doom or...
Wolfenstein.
Wolfenstein or Duke Nukem or... there's a game that this game, Cultic, is really, like, it's almost like a love letter to, but I can't recall the name of the game. Anyway, so Cultic is, I guess, like a horror version of this. You play a police officer, I believe. You are investigating a cult. And it's that kind of first person, very fast, very bloody shoot 'em up, boomer shooter, where you're roaming around these really spooky levels, sort of shooting cultists or whatever with your many guns. I'm playing it in the hardest difficulty because that's what I heard people say was the most fun, and I think they're absolutely right. It can be kind of frustrating at times, but there's a lot of good, like, kind of moments where you'll be pinned down by just, like, feels like hundreds of cultists, and you got to really kind of think your way through every combat encounter, which I really like. Like, stuff like, it's pretty basic, but there are lanterns, like little kind of handheld oil lanterns around the map that if you throw at your enemies, they'll make, like, a lot of fire, which will kill a bunch of guys, which is very satisfying to do. But, like, it just means every time you find one of those lanterns, you're like, I got to pick it up. I got to bring it with me.
Mm-hmm.
Heaps of atmosphere as well. Like, the game's just sort of oozing with atmosphere. The first level is, like, a big warehouse and the woods. Then the next level is, like, a big shipping yard, which is really fun. The weapon variety is pretty cool. It seems like there's a lot more weapons than I've got to so far. I've got a pistol, a shotgun, a rifle classic of some variety, dynamite, you
oh
know,
yeah,
grenades,
yeah,
which is pretty cool.
I've heard very good things about this game. I think that as soon as you said dynamite, I was like, yeah, I remember. I've definitely seen this game before.
Oh yeah,
I've seen this game being played.
It's very fun. One thing that keeps screwing me over with the dynamite is.
It explodes?
No, well, actually the opposite. So, because it's just like the way you use the dynamite is you need to click, first of all, either left or right, and this is what screws me over, to light it, and then you click the other one to throw it.
Mm-hmm.
But the amount of times I've just thrown unlit dynamite at my enemies.
Thrown it without lighting it.
Shot to death. That's nothing more frustrating.
Oh,
and like, on the harder difficulties, dynamite's hard to find too, so yeah, you just throw it and you're like,
well, you know where to get it. It's just where you've
screwed myself over.
If you throw it without lighting it, can you pick it back up?
Sometimes, but it depends, because you might throw it and, like, the geometry of the level just sucks it up and it's gone
yeah
for good.
Yeah.
Which is very annoying. But I really like, so, like...
You have this problem in games a lot, which requires you to press two buttons quick.
Can't do it.
And you panic and forget to
That's
do it.
That's why I'm shooting doors in the long dark.
Yeah,
or whatever.
I was about to say that.
Yeah.
So in the long dark, you have to put away your weapon and then click to open a door.
Yeah.
But if you keep your weapon out and you click, you just shoot the door. Yeah. And bullets are really hard to come by. Jackson has a problem where we just keep shooting the doors.
Well, it's because I don't want to put my gun away in case a wolf gets me. So I gotta keep the pistol out at all times.
And now you're just throwing dynamite to the enemies. It'd be awesome if they could throw it back at you.
That would be so funny. The worst example of that with the problem with that gun thing in the long dark is, so rabbits are like a good source of food, but you don't want to waste a bullet on it. What you want to do is pick up a rock and throw that at the rabbit.
Yeah.
But the amount of times I've, with a pistol out, gone to pick up a rock and shot the rock and wasted a bullet anyway.
I can't even eat this rock. I'm shot and everything.
The rock's dead as hell, but it's not going to give me any sustenance. Now I'm going to pick up the rock and throw it at the rabbit anyway.
But the rabbit's got scared because a gunshot just went off, so it's gone.
Yep, that happened to me so much more often than you would think.
I think if I did that once, I would be so embarrassed and made sure it never happened again.
A really cool moment that I had in this game, I guess this is sort of spoilers for an enemy type, but it was a really cool... I don't know, if you want to skip ahead 5 minutes to avoid this, fair enough.
It's so funny
yeah
for you to be like, here's a spoiler warning for an enemy type, when I've heard you wreck the entire story of multiple games without giving listeners any indication implication you were going
to
do it.
Yeah, I like to and keep them on their toes.
And then claiming I didn't do anything wrong because no one plays games for the story.
Not that game. Anyway.
Look, I didn't even say who the evil masked figure for Scooby-Doo 2 was. I just gave people the code in case they want to find out for themselves.
They can do it themselves. Not me. Not me. Except in this one instance, apparently. Anyway, there was a bit where I was in one of the big ships in the shipping container level. And I had to go in there to get a key.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, the crate just, like, levitates and flings at me.
Yeah.
And this was the first time, like, anything obviously supernatural had happened in the game, so that was really cool.
Well, that's funny, because the game starts with you being dead, and you crawl from your grave. So I would have thought that that's supernatural.
I missed that bit somehow.
Maybe you were just really hurt, and then you got up.
The premise of the game is death is only the beginning. Crawl from your grave and gear up to fight your way through the ranks of a mysterious and twisted cult. You, your guns, and your dynamite will have to shoot, slide, blast, duck, dodge, and maybe throw a gib or two to survive in this old-school inspired shooter.
How did I miss that I'm dead?
I don't know.
I don't remember crawling out of a grave. I remember I just started at a warehouse.
Well, it's not a grave anymore after you crawl out of it.
Yeah, that's true.
It's just a hole in the ground. Well, that's interesting. When does a grave become a hole? So when you dig it, because people say I'm digging a grave, but it's really just a hole until a body goes in it, hey?
Yeah, I guess.
That's true. It's semantics. Okay, I'll
could
take
we start,
that. Yeah.
To solve this problem, could we start saying grave hole?
It's a pre-grave.
Yeah, that's true. Then you put the body in it, it becomes a grave when the body leaves.
But then maybe any hole is a pre-grave.
Well, if you kill it.
Yeah, it has the potential to be a pre-grave,
but
I would say.
I'm a serial killer.
Yeah.
And I kill a guy.
Yeah.
Then I bury his body because I don't want the cops to find it.
Yeah.
Is that a grave? Or is that a hole of bodies in?
That's true.
I think that's just a hole of bodies in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Maybe where you can put up a marker, then it becomes a grave.
I think the more we talk about this, the more that we just put a coffin in a hole is funny to me. And I think I'm wrecking funerals for myself.
It is
like, oh no, this guy died.
Just put him in a hole.
Put him in a hole.
Put him in the ground, I guess.
Bury his ass, I don't know. That is pretty funny. But what, you know, it's Paleolithic times, you got a dead guy.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah. Well, I'm not letting him out to get a disease or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
You just, put him in the hole.
I might put a rock on top of him, which is kind of like a hole.
Well, that's how the gravestone probably starts.
You put a rock on him and you're like, why don't we put dirt on the body so we didn't have to see him? I guess I wonder if part of it is that a dead body is gross. You don't want to see it anymore.
Yeah.
Probably gross.
Yeah.
It smells.
Yeah, it gets stinky. Put it in the sea. That's another thing people do. That's a nice one.
Yeah, that's...
Thrown in. But if it could go back in. We did this thing where after I got married very recently. And
congratulations.
We took our... Thank you. And we took our my wife's bouquet out. One of our honeymoon spots was to the ocean.
Yeah.
And we did this like ceremony because she loves the ocean. So I was like, well, I don't want to just throw away your bouquet. Let's like do the ceremonial thing where we like throw it out to sea and like it'll just have its own life out there or whatever. And we spent the next 20 minutes picking it back up as it washed ashore to throw it back in and like hope it stays in there. I'm imagining doing that with a body, just being like, go, just we don't want you
stay
here
out
on the shore.
Why do you keep coming back?
You're too buoyant.
The sea's your home now. Stop, get off the beach.
You gotta poke some holes in this body so it sinks.
That's funny because like throwing a bouquet like straight out, it feels like it'd be really satisfying, but because a bouquet, it would have a lot of resistance. So I feel like you'd feel like you're throwing it really well, but it wouldn't go very far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it does not go very far. It was when they were wet, when they came back in, it was helpful because they were heavier.
Yeah.
But they just kept, we were just like, we can't be out here for another couple hours doing this. We just have to like, there was one that made it out there and we're like, that's good enough for us.
That's funny because when you catch a bouquet at a wedding, people say that means you're next. That sea's getting married.
Oh my God, that's exciting, dude. Aren't most sea captains married to the sea? Whoa. C's taken.
I guess.
And polyamorous.
I guess that means that a new sea captain's about to happen.
That's awesome.
A new sea captain was born that day. Yeah.
That's really That's special. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, the sea, I will say the sea seemed very resistant to the idea of getting married.
You know, not ready. So. I want to enjoy single life.
I just need a little bit more time. I need to work on myself.
Yeah, Cultic's fun.
Sounds good.
I really like it. I really enjoy a boomer shooter. It's one of those genres that...
Okay, boomer.
Hey. Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I think that's awesome.
Yeah, that's a good bit.
But yeah, it's one of those genres that I don't think I like until I'm playing it, and then I'm like, oh, actually, this is exactly up my alley. The area I'm at the moment is really scary. It's talk about atmosphere. Like, it's just, it's been really tight, kind of like linear levels so far. And the most recent area I've arrived in is just like a huge open woods. And I was like, I'm not used to this. And because I'm so, from the other two levels, I'm so like kind of paranoid that I'm going to get shot from somewhere. The whole time I'm just kind of like waiting for somebody to jump out of the bushes or whatever, but nobody does for ages. Then I found a car idling, just like shining headlights, kind of like a rocky wall. And I was like, I'm about to be so killed. And then I got attacked by zombies, and there's so many of them. And it's like a completely different game. Very exciting.
It's also awesome after your spoiler warning, you never actually revealed what you were.
Well, that's good
anyway.
For the people then. But then I did spoil the zombies. So it's kind of like a
supernatural stuff happens.
Yeah.
But you crawl out of a hole. So.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
I don't remember that at all.
Jerry's out. Yeah.
Until the game lets you control your character, I guess maybe you just keep your eyes closed.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I was doing other stuff.
Yeah, busy. Making a sandwich.
Yeah.
Or maybe you made a sandwich, came back into the room, opened it, and then knocked your sandwich onto the floor. And had to get under the desk, fiddle around.
I'm not going to miss anything in these opening couple minutes.
The floor sandwich is more important.
Yeah. I got a floor sandwich to eat, yeah.
And then you're like, oh, it's a lot of effort to pick the sandwich
what
up.
What if I just ate it down here?
Yeah, what if you just ate it?
What if I ate the sandwich like a dog?
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Dogs seem happy. Maybe there's some truth
dog doesn't
in this.
Care about a sandwich on the floor.
No, dog the, loves sandwich.
Dog's
on the floor.
Just excited
dog
to
loves
eat.
Loves it.
Dog loves floor sandwich, dude.
I think dog's probably more excited by a sandwich on the floor than a sandwich on a plate on a table.
Depends, because if everybody else is eating and that sandwich is someone else's. Oh, no, but I suppose on the floor means dog can have.
Yeah.
On a plate, dog not allowed is a crime to get that sandwich.
But sandwich on a plate on the floor, that's suspicious.
Yeah.
Dog's like, I don't know what I want with that.
Yeah. I'm going to leave that and see what happens.
Because if you put sandwich on plate on floor, dog's like,
Yeah.
Plate usually means not for me, but it is on floor, which usually means for me.
Yeah.
So they'll be like cautious. Mm. They'll eat it, but they'll be a bit cautious. Probably nervous dog energy.
Yeah. I like
sandwich slap on the floor. Dog's like, yum, yum.
Yeah, yum, yum. Dig in. Let's eat. I always think about my dad who's
sandwich.
Sandwich, Raggy.
Whoa, Scooby Doo. Sorry to take it back to whatever, ignoring whatever you were about
to say.
Taking it back, the enemies in the Scooby-Doo game were rats and bats, but to Scooby, they'd both be rats!
I thought that too. I was like, why are there so many rats in this game? Is it because Scooby can't... Is it because it's like he's just trying to say... Anything like rats? I don't know. Like it was, I was like, why is it? There are no rats in the movie, and there are so many rats in the game.
Watch out, Raggy!
There's rats. Do you mean bats or rats, Scoop?
Rats!
God damn it!
Not helpful.
I'm gonna go 4 thumbs. For Cultic. I'm really enjoying it.
It looks awesome.
Yeah. It's really fun.
I wish that I had a PC.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's very fluid, very smooth, feels very satisfying to shoot. Like the enemies is like good feedback when you do it.
Yeah.
Good enemy variety. I mean, the enemy variety is, at the moment, it's by and large what weapons the cultists are carrying. But that's kind of enough for now. I think if it didn't, and clearly with the zombies it's changed, but like if it had stayed just those cultists, I think it would have gotten a bit samey. But other than that, it's a blast.
And Cultic is on sale at day of recording. But unfortunately, when you're hearing this, the sale ended 5 days ago. Better luck next time, listeners.
No. Gotcha, stinkers.
Jackson, obviously we've got Scott as a guest today, but I could have sworn I just heard someone at the door.
Oh, yeah, come in. Hey, everybody, it's me, Mr. Ads.
Oh, Mr. Ads, hey.
Hey, Scott, how you doing? I'm Mr. Ads. I deliver the ads to this podcast and all podcasts. This is the only podcast that acknowledges my existence, though. Other podcasts, they edit it out when I come in.
Yeah,
but
which
I
is
am
rude.
There.
You're basically the
Your favorite
host.
Podcast, I am on in some capacity. Do go on
true.
The Weekly Planet, I'm there.
We edit you out of my podcast as well. It's just we've got a schedule and everything, and you're very inconvenient to pop in.
I need to say hello to the people, Scott.
Uh-huh.
Let them know where the ads come from. Me, Mr. Ads.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Ads. Let's hear those ads you brought for us.
All right.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Thank you so much,
that's
Mr.
okay.
Rods.
Goodbye. That's Edit great. Me back into your podcast. Goodbye.
I'll try.
See you, Mr. Ads. You don't have to do that, Scott.
Yeah, don't worry.
Don't listen to him. Yeah. Don't listen to him.
I kind of want to, but we'll see how it goes.
Well, now that Mr. Ads has been and gone, it's actually time to, to dive into what many call either the best or the worst part of the show, which is when we
it's
head
divisive.
To the thumbcrampspot@gmail.com inbox and we read out some emails from listeners.
And I do love this spot because our listeners are unwell.
Okay, so straight off the bat, this is from Aaron, who signs off their name. Scott, just to let you know and to fill you in, if someone emails Thumbcramps and they choose not to include their name, they are a coward, and we have a coward alarm.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of people, they don't want to be a coward.
Yeah,
they've started
don't want
using
that
their name, even though often
awesome. Yeah.
they will email us. And if I was sending the email, I'd be like, I will cop the coward alarm if I'm saying this. And this is from Aaron, and this feels like one of those times, just based on what I've seen already.
I'm excited.
Subject, you just made me want to run away and live in a cave for the rest of my life.
Why did we do that?
So, Scott, when you've guessed it on previous podcasts, a lot of the time the emails will probably be like, hey, love the show, just wondering, what's your favorite Spider-Man?
Sure.
I don't know if they're all. I don't know. That's a...
Hey, great podcast.
Come on, man. You can do this. You would.
What's your favorite Scooby-Doo episode?
That's better.
Yeah.
When does a hole become a grave?
Well, now we're getting in Thumbcramps territory. So, Aaron.
Yeah.
You'll find out very quickly, Scott, that emails and Thumbcramps are often like, hey, I was listening to your podcast and then I got hit by a car.
Yeah.
That has been an email we've gotten multiple times.
Yeah. I think 3 people so far have been hit by a car listening to the podcast.
Someone got hit by an ambulance whilst listening to the podcast, which is funny.
That is
funny.
Because
the ambulance is meant to do the opposite of run people over.
Yeah, I was carrying some of the other people who got hit by a car listening to your podcast.
So this says, Dear Thumb Bros and Guest, my social life is over.
Oh, no.
I had been catching up on some episodes on the way to college for a couple of days now when one day I got there and my friend had a little bit of a crisis. In a rush, I didn't pause the podcast and stuffed my phone into my pocket with the earphone still attached.
Oh, no.
After the problem was solved, I had completely forgotten that you guys were playing in my pocket still. This meant that while in history, the earphones somehow became loose, disconnected from my phone, and suddenly the room was filled with Jackson talking about dog balls.
Yeah, that'll do it. Hey.
Everyone turned to look at me as I hurried to turn it off, and in a panic, made up some story about my brother playing stuff on my phone to get me in trouble. I am now forever known as the dog fondler and have never wanted to disappear more. Thanks, Aaron.
Aaron, that's okay. Hey.
Thumb Cramps is getting them old school bullied. Aaron, that's like bullying from like not another teen movie or something.
I love Aaron, you're being like, no, it's my brother. He puts podcasts on my phone. To get me in trouble. I'm sure they believe that.
He hacks into the phone and plays things.
He plays dog fondling podcasts. That's so funny, Aaron, and I'm so sorry. But also, you chose to listen.
Yeah.
So this next one's from Hamish. Subject, a serious and legitimate question.
Okay.
What's up, video game boyfriends and guest?
How you doing?
With this...
I could be included in that.
You could be a video game boyfriend.
Yeah, you could be a video game boyfriend.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why not?
I think so.
With the Jedi Survivor PC port still being dog shit and Spider-Man 2 right around the corner, what do you think is the best way to steal a PS5 without getting caught? Cheers, Hamish.
Ooh.
Great question, Hamish.
Good question.
It depends on how strong your morals are in this situation, Hamish. Yeah. If you are fine with being a despicable person...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Break and enter.
No. It's I will say both better and worse than that.
Okay.
I think, Hamish, what you're going to want to do, step one, and I'm not sure about your current relationship status, but regardless, we're going to pretend you're single.
Okay.
Even if you are in a relationship, it's part of the long con.
All right, I'm excited.
Yeah.
You're going to set up a dating profile.
Uh-huh.
And you are going to put, like, you're open to anything, no preference, basically. Pretend you're pan. You're going to go on as many dates as possible, as quickly as possible, until you date someone where you connect and you find out they have a PS5.
Okay, all right.
You are then going
to... So you do have one preference, then.
Yes. But obviously, you're not going to put that on the dating profile.
Any gender, as long as they have a PS5.
Anything goes, must be gamer. So probably include that you like video games on your profile.
Okay.
That'll weed out the... it'll be less dates.
All right, fair enough.
Don't go too heavy on the gaming stuff, though, because you don't want to come across like... You don't want the plan to be revealed.
Yeah, okay.
So then, once you're on a date with someone with a PS5, you're going to want to turn the charm up as much as possible, and you're going to try and score that second date. And if it doesn't work, back to square one, keep dating.
All right.
Anyway, you're going to get into a legitimate relationship with this person, finish both of these games, and then if you don't have a connection with them, just break up with them.
Okay. So you're going to use...
This is good. You're treating them like Gamefly.com back in the day. You're just renting video games, the ability to play a video game from them. That's
I will say, though, it's fine because, like, hey, if Hamish, I don't know, if you are single, maybe this will actually be... Maybe you'll find the one this way.
That's
if you are already in a relationship, this could be putting that relationship at risk.
Well, if you're already in a relationship, could you try and get your current partner to purchase a PS5 that you can then play?
Yeah. Try hitting them with, babe, please, I'm desperate. I just love video games so much. Babe, if you love me, you'd buy one.
People do love a gamer worm. That is like the ideal partner.
Yeah.
I think you could try and find like a sugar daddy or a sugar mama.
Yeah.
If you don't mind showing feet or hole.
Well, that's true. Mm-hmm. I guess that's actually some... That's like the nicer and less emotionally manipulative version of mine.
Yeah. You just show hole a couple of times, get a PS5, bada bing, bada boom, you're out of there.
And if you like showing hole, you could keep showing hole.
Exactly.
Maybe get an Xbox
You're
One.
Doing it.
No, Xbox
Have
Series
two PS5s.
X.
PS5s. Have
yeah.
three.
Yeah, exactly. You figure out the hole to game console math. You, I think that's one way to do it. Well, good luck, Hamish, if you figure out what works.
Yeah. And finally, to bring us home in the video game, well, the video game segment, the email segment.
We've done the video game segment, dude.
So, this is from a coward.
Oh, okay. Coward alarm.
Coward.
Oh, boo.
Which is so funny because compared to the last two emails, nothing on this. Hi, Thumb Boys, an effervescent guest. Hearing about the PlayStapril experience of buying an old PlayStation a few months ago made me remember my own experience with used consoles. About 6 years ago, my friend bought a PS3 from a charity shop. The original owner's information was still there, including a logged-in Netflix account and a large quantity of MILF-based content.
That's awesome.
Whoa!
Have you had any similar experiences when buying used consoles, good or bad? Well...
Nothing that awesome.
Well, listener... Ooh. Coward. Well, coward.
Well, coward.
When we purchased our Wii U, it came with a child's profile still loaded on and included two Pac-Man Wii U games, Super Mario Kart, Super Mario Galaxy 2, Minecraft, and Mario Kart 8 DLC save data, which we deleted.
You gotta wonder about this kid that's got two Pac-Man games.
Yeah.
Like, that's kids don't like Pac-Man.
Yeah. So it means that the parents bought it for them and they've been
like, that was a gift for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. No child wants Pac-Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would... Oh, actually, I'm trying to think of, like, stuff... I feel like that one of my friends in high school bought a phone secondhand that had pictures on it and they were like, whoa! And that was awesome.
That is cool. That is cool.
But it's also, like... it feels wrong looking at it because you're like, I'm not meant to be seeing this.
I think that I would rather see my friend's hole, hear me out, than look at their pornographic search history. You know what I mean?
I think porn search history is fine.
I know, because I don't want to know that about you. Everyone's got a hole. I see that. I'm like, whatever. That's just human anatomy. I see what you're looking at. It's a window into your soul. Your asshole's just a window into your body. Your porn search history is a window into your soul that I don't want to look through.
I think the reason I don't feel uncomfortable about that at all is just solely because, like, there is nothing interesting going on a porn website. If you would just like to see what I saw, you'd be like, that's nothing.
But what about if I saw specific searches?
I could not tell you the last time I specifically searched for something.
Well, you're just going, you're freeballing.
Yeah, scroll through the homepage, see what's going on.
Let the algorithm decide.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I have very specific tastes.
I would not like to see that. I understand that for you. But yeah,
I will
like,
say I was going to say on the initial question about finding or like getting, you know, having media loaded onto something secondhand, that used to happen to me when I would buy MP3 players.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't any like photos or anything, but I did find, you know, I would like give things a list, especially because I didn't have a computer. So I was just like, well, I'll just listen to whatever music is already loaded on here.
Hell
and through that, I found a bunch of music that I really liked, very specific niche stuff that I'm like, this person was kind of cool. They're into something I wasn't into. And like, yeah. So that's like that's kind of cool.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really cool way to find new music.
Do you remember any of the bands you discovered that way?
Oh, the one that sticks out to me is the Pink Spiders. Which
never heard of them before.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? So I had never heard of them either, but I now to this day have a handful of songs like burned into my brain from them.
That rules.
That's sick.
And it's a band I would have never looked for or known to look for. And I'm just like, this rules, man. This band rules.
That's awesome.
But that was like 10 or 15 years ago.
Yeah, but it's still
so
stuck
like,
with you. That's, yeah.
It stuck with me. I'm just saying, I don't want to say this band rules. I don't know what they're up to these days. You know what I mean? So
it is always risky.
Let's find out. Pink Spiders. Yeah. Is Pink Scott Spiders in trouble for his favorite band?
Let's see. When was the last album?
Okay. So they released a new album literally... like a month or two ago.
Holy shit.
Wild.
Freakazoid.
Wild.
Which makes me think that they're not in trouble.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice.
So let's find out what are they up to? Pink Spiders.
What are they up to?
Also, I expected when you said the Pink Spiders for it to be like kind of like a twee looking indie band.
Yeah.
Not the case.
Yeah. Okay.
Not the case at all.
Not the case at all.
No, they're very, I don't know what if they're like an emo thing or something, but like, you know, they've got that vibe about them. A lot
Hell
of
yeah.
black and pink.
You know? That rolls.
Yeah, they're all good. They went on hiatus for a bit, then came back in 2010.
Nice.
Their return show was one of, a fan was like, hey, can you come play my bar mitzvah? And they were like, yeah, okay.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That rules,
good.
Actually.
Turns Hell out yeah. that
All
they
right, rock. I think I'm good. I've not listened to them since high school. And then like maybe last year when I relogged into my Spotify account that I had in high school for the first time. So.
Whoa.
That would have been awesome just to see.
Yeah, yeah. That is awesome.
That my Spotify account is a time capsule of God. Like my freshman year of college.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
That's awesome. I use Last FM, which was big when I was in uni. Or like right at the end of high school, which was pretty much just like a social media, but for what you're listening to.
Oh, yeah.
And I re-logged back into that, I reckon, 5 years ago. And I can still see what I, like, it's like 2009 and I could click on it and see what was going on. Nothing good.
Hell yeah.
Speaking of nothing good, Jackson, another way you can get in contact with the show, so obviously you can email us at thumbcrampspod@gmail.com,
yes,
or
you
can write us a 5-star review. If it's less than 5 stars, you're not getting in contact with the show, because we won't look at it.
I would tell you, it's actually your moral imperative to give us a 5-star review. You've listened to the podcast for free.
Yeah.
You haven't paid a dime, and we've dedicated an hour plus, so the least you can do is give us 5 stars on your podcast app of choice.
Yeah, it doesn't matter which podcast app you're using. If it lets you review it, like if it's a star rating, click 5 stars. If it lets you write a review, write a review. And as we keep saying, the more 5-star reviews we get, the funnier it is for us because we get taken more and more legitimately.
Exactly. You want people to accept that Thumb Cramps is legitimate video game journalism. This is how you do it.
We currently have a Media Pass 2 PAX.
Yeah.
In fact, we're at PAX the day this comes out. That's funny. Do you think it'll be even funnier if we're in the American PAX? Make sure you hit 5 stars like these people have. So this is from a true podcast fan.
Oh, okay.
So obviously you got to know that.
You got to trust the
review.
Yeah, for sure.
So the subject of this review is 5 stars.
Okay, nice.
And they've given us 5 stars. And then the review says, I miss when Thumb Cramps was bad.
Oh,
so, Scott, you wouldn't know this, but Thumb Cramps was bad when it started.
Yeah, that's true.
It was boring, and people liked it, but they shouldn't have. Now it's good.
Now this true podcast
that's
fan.
Like that's every podcast.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true.
It's got
that's,
growing pains.
And then I guess finally they bring the reviews home, and this is another beautiful review, and this is from Sean Mack.
Mm-hmm.
Subject, 5 voluptuous thumbs.
Oh, hubba hubba.
Oh.
They've given us 5 stars. Top tier Australian comedy boyfriends allow me to chart my mental decline by the amount of this show I consume. I'd recommend this show to all gamers looking to improve their incomprehensibility of their speech towards others. For example, try bringing up high looking / low looking in everyday conversation. Love, Sean.
Thank you, Sean.
Thumb Cramps is a podcast that's had enough of intellect. We've opted out.
Yes. You're making up your own language, your own vernacular.
Exactly.
I've been witness to it, and I enjoy it very much as we try and understand. Are we understanding the English language, or are we challenging the English language?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I think.
Anytime Thumb Cramps or any of the podcasts on Sandspans Radio has a guest outside of Australia popping on, they get to play a game called Are These Hosts of Sandspans Radio Podcast Dumb and Making Up Their Own Words, or is this just how all Australians are? And it's a mystery.
Couldn't tell you.
There is no true answer.
Well, thank you to everyone that reviewed the show. Thank you for all the emails. Again, hit us up at thumbcrampspod@gmail.com. Make sure you follow us on Instagram at thumbcrampspod. That's another easy way for us to get attention from actual media sources and then us to trick them and then us to end up, I don't know, doing a live podcast for the President of the United States, Joe Biden.
Whoa! Joe, buddy.
What happened?
Want to hear about some games? Yeah, we hit 1 million Instagram followers. Yeah. So Joe Biden's requested us to
come to the White House, tell him about Plants vs. Zombies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thumbcramps. He's got to know what these kids are into.
Yeah. Tell me, how do you play it?
I don't know properly how U.S. politics work. I don't know if you get a second term, if you still get another inauguration, but if you do, we will perform at it.
Yes. That
it's
is
a
the
great
dream.
Question that I do not even know the answer to, and I live here.
So thank you to everyone that has listened and done everything that we've requested, and go to hell, everyone that hasn't.
Yes.
And thank you so much to our very special guest, Scott, for joining us in the first episode of Adaptober. Scott, where can we find you?
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Of course.
You can find me. I have a YouTube channel called NerdSync, NerdSync. It's all one word. And I use comics and superheroes and cartoons, mostly Scooby-Doo, to talk about real-world history, philosophy, culture, and art. Mostly, I'm just having a fun, wacky time right now, diving into some Scooby-Doo history for October.
Hell
and
yeah.
I'm including this a video about this game, the Scooby-Doo 2 Monsters Unleashed. So look forward to that. There's also another Scooby game that I will be covering extremely briefly because it is apparently super prominent, I guess, in the speedrunning community because it takes about 14 seconds to beat.
Whoa.
And I also did that for fun.
What the hell? What? That's
so
crazy.
And yeah, it's Scooby-Doo and the Cyber Chase. It's another adaptation.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Happy
yeah, bringing two of them.
Yeah.
So, and I also have a podcast as well that's not related to anything like that. It's called It's Probably Not Aliens, which is a podcast I do with my buddy Tristan where we debunk ancient alien theories and ancient astronaut conspiracies while learning about really cool history of people, places, and things. So those are my big two things that I do.
Hell yeah. And if you are interested in both of those things, and you should be, they will be in the show notes below.
Yeah.
I literally pointed down. I'm not on YouTube. Yeah. I don't need to do that. thank you so much for joining us, Scott, and to everyone else, to all the listeners, happy Adaptober.
Yeah.
And let us know, is it good when movies are games?
Somebody on the Instagram in the comments said, is this a sunk cost sort of fallacy situation, or are you guys genuinely having fun? Referring to our themed months, and of course we are having fun. This is the best the show's ever been. What are you, stupid?
See you next week, gamers!
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.